Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back, and I'm excited because we get to talk about, well, mapping out your future, because that's a lot of what it's about. And we are very excited to tell you that Bart Astor is on the line with us, and Beth found Bart. He had written some things that she ran across, and that got into a conversation, and we found out he had also written the book, AARP Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, and Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams. Website is bartastor.com, just like it sounds, Bart and then A-S-T-O-R.com. And Bart is a recognized expert in life's transitions and elder care. He's written the book, number one Amazon retirement planning category for 6 consecutive weeks. That's a good sign. He's done a lot of writing in a lot of areas. We're very interested to hear of his perspective. He's appeared on numerous TV and radio shows, including ABC Good Morning America, PBS Marketplace, The Truth About Money with Rick Edelman, AARP Radio, Two Boomer Babes, and Boomers Rock Radio. That's a lot. Publisher and founder of the College Planning Quarterly. Welcome, Bart, to the program.
Hey, David. Great. Nice to be with you.
My pleasure. Glad to have you with us. And I'll dive right in here. What prompted you to write The Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life? What prompted you to write the book?
That's an interesting story, actually. I went to see, I was at a talk by Gail Sheehy. Remember, she was the author of Passages and Caregiving. And she talked about her husband was quite ill at the time and undergoing palliative care just prior to hospice. And the doctor, the palliative care doctor, came to visit her and asked him the question, asked Clay, what are your goals for this stage in life? And I thought, wow, that's an interesting question to ask somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Clay had an answer, and I don't remember what Gail said the answer was, but he was quite ill, so it meant, you know, going around the block or going to attend his daughter's whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But it occurred to me at my younger age and not being sick, I don't know that I have answers to that question. And I asked a lot of people as well of my peer group, what do you have goals? I mean, what are your goals at this stage in your life? And almost nobody had an answer to that. And I said, aha, there it is. So I actually enlisted Gail to write the foreword for me, and which she did, and it's a wonderful foreword. And that was really the whole focus of the book.
Okay. So I get to ask the obvious questions, Bart. Why do you think that is the case? That, you know, people, unless they are suddenly retired, or they are, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they have this windfall from fall out of the sky that lets them change their lifestyle dramatically. You know, people that are baby boomers or getting, you know, maybe they're in their 60s and they've got to be thinking about retirement and this and what they're going to do for the rest of their life. So why the sticker shock?
That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure I have the answer to that, but, you know, I think all through our lives, we've always had these goals, right?
Yeah.
We've always had the goal,
yeah.
What do I want to be when I grow up?
Right.
Or what am I going to major in? All those things. But I don't know, you sort of start living your life, and you're in your 50s and 60s, you don't think about having goals anymore. You know, you're not reaching towards anything. There's not like, oh, I want that next job, or I want to be president of the United States, or I mean, or a cowboy, or something like that. You know, you're over those goals, and then all of a sudden you start thinking maybe towards the end of your career, well, maybe I won't retire because I love my work, and I'm going to say, how many people have you heard say, I want to die on at my desk?
Right.
I don't ever want to retire because they say they have no hobbies. Well, I find that sad in one sense. I mean, they do have hobbies. People have interests. You might not call it a hobby, but you have things that you like to do, even if it's just sitting watching TV, watching a ball game, or watching movies or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's your hobby. So the question of why we don't do that in our 50s and 60s is that's a tough question to answer, but very few of us do, other than we think about retirement in terms of money. But you and I both know it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we can help with the money part. We can have that conversation, but it's what are you going to do the rest of the time? You get the money part figured out, and there's so many of the things for You know, and my parents, conveniently for me, Bart, I got to see this kind of up close and personal because I watched my parents retire and they got the money part right and they did all these other things. And then I watched them, you know, explore different things that they wanted to do, travel, the cabin in North Carolina. Then they would still go back and they dabbled with some work. And so, you know, I got to see that and they kind of figured it out as they went along. But, you know, up until you've written your book, I hadn't seen a book like yours that actually explored this, and they kind of figured it out as they went along.
I think many of us do that, and we stumble along, and it is nice to have a roadmap, and I hope that this book provides some of those questions that you start asking yourself. And it is a tough thing to start thinking about having a goal, and how do you figure out the goals? And it's not rocket science. We pretty much know the answers. But it's taking somebody, and I hope my book is a way that people will then look at this and say, oh, here are some steps.
Okay.
Here are a few things, some guides, some tips. And, you know, one of the things I say right up first, right in the beginning is when you want to figure out what it is you want to be doing, just look at what you are doing. I think that for the most part, what we do is what we want to do. I mean, not in the grand, in the grand scheme of things, yes, you're working at a job, and I mean, you know, in your leisure time, you do what you want to do. Again, as I said before, even if it's watching TV, it's what you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with it. So I think the first step in finding goals is just observe what it is that you do and realize, oh, I like doing this, accept that that's what you like to do, and that's what you want to continue to do.
So is it putting some structure around it? Is that kind of the goal here?
No pun intended. In that sense, yes, it is putting some structure and accepting that that is a goal to continue doing what you want to do. Now, that said, that doesn't mean you're going to be stuck doing this the whole time. You know, you have 20, 30, 40 more years of life.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 50 years old, there's a pretty good chance you're going to live to be 90 or something.
Wow.
That's 40 years. Well, to be thinking, I'm going to always do this for 40 years, really? I mean, I can't imagine that. So you'll always be changing. So it's finding goals and finding new things is going to be an ongoing process.
Mm.
So once you figure out that this is what I like to do now, well, you accept it. And you don't put value judgments on it. It's not good or bad. You know, watching TV, my sister-in-law, everyone was also worried that when she retired, she was going to sit around, eat bonbons, do crossword puzzles, and do nothing. Well, guess what? For a while, she did. And then she stopped after a while saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And now she travels, and now she volunteers, and she does this. You know, we have a hard time getting together with her because she's so busy.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's. I think it's very typical.
I
think that's something that we all get busy. And there's a lot of things that we can do. So, you know, observe yourself. Don't judge what you're doing as good or bad. And then brainstorm. You know, just brainstorm. Look around at others. What is someone else doing? Oh, that looks pretty cool.
Well, these are ideally things then that Bart people are thinking about before they retire, right? I mean, they're kind of getting a plan together. That's really the optimal scenario is that, hey, these are all the things I like to do. They kind of inventory them. Because people are afraid that once they, I mean, even though they're very much enamored with the idea of being retired and having a lot of flexibility, they're also probably to some degree, you know, very concerned about what they will do because they know how much maybe they're involved with work or how much of their own personal fulfillment comes from work.
I think a lot of people are, in fact, I think the biggest concern that people have is that they won't have anything to do. Which I think is pretty funny, right? I mean, I'm so concerned that I'm going to be doing nothing in retirement and I'm not going to be productive and I'm not going to do anything worthwhile and I'm going to be bored. I'll tell you, every retiree I've spoken with is thrilled with their life. And I think surveys have shown that, I think it was recently, there was a New York Life survey said that half the people wish they retired 4 or 5 years before.
Yeah,
because they're happier, and all the surveys were showing that older people tend to be happier than younger people.
Mm. Well, makes sense to me, Bart. I think that if people are thinking ahead, this is the way to go. Bart Astor, ladies and gentlemen, author, blogger, and speaker of the book, AARP Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams, bartastor.com. And of course, you can pick the book up also over on amazon.com. Do a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Bart a little bit more. Speak specifically maybe to the fact that maybe you don't have any hobbies at all and you only work, then what to do? Stay right there.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back with Bart Astor. Glad to have him with us, bartastor.com. And of course, he wrote Four Money Moves for a Happier Retirement over on MarketWatch, and that's what got our attention. And then we dug and found AARP Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams. And that's just one of 12 books that Bart has written. So we're excited to have him on the program. And continue the conversation, Bart, I wanted to ask you kind of this, kind of a, maybe it's an odd question, but what if somebody says, you know, I got to confess, or I really work as my life. I don't have any hobbies now. So you say, look around at what I'm doing now and kind of use that as a benchmark. But I really am starting from a clean slate here. So how do I do that? How do I, you know, I'm not doing anything else and I need some direction. Is there a way of kind of assessing the things that I might want to be focusing on when I retire?
Yeah, David. Well, it's an interesting, the word hobby may be the wrong word. That throws people for a loop. You know, everyone says, well, I don't really have any hobbies. And when we start, hobbies are not just collecting stamps. I mean, that's sure, that's a hobby. But, you know, and as kids, most of us collected stamps and coins and had these little hobbies. But I'm talking about leisure time activities. And yes, you're chained to your desk or you're chained to your work or you work 70 hours or something, but you do have leisure time. What is it you do in your leisure time? As I mentioned before about watching TV, yes, it's not something that you might not do hours and hours and hours of all day, although you could. But a lot of people love to they come home after a long day of work, they watch TV, they watch a movie, they read a book, they read magazines. In a sense, that's a hobby. You just don't call it that. You call it your leisure time activities. Well, expand that a little bit and take away okay. And I think that's the kind of thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
So to call it a hobby is a misnomer, and yeah. I hesitate to use that word. But so now, and it's an interesting thing that everything takes a little bit longer as you become retired, and I've noticed that with a lot of people that things take a little bit longer, and so you spend a little bit more time because you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, again, to use the word hobby is not a good thing. And secondly, take your time doing the things that you do like to do. Watch that movie that you want to watch. Now, will you stay doing that forever? Earlier in the program we talked about you have 20, 30, 40 more years of life. You know, you don't envision it all. I don't think that I can't imagine myself 20 years from now. Can you?
Yeah, not accurately.
No. I mean, if you got 5 years, if you can figure out 5 years from now, hey, you're doing great. So I think if you look a little bit forward, and that probably as accurate as you're going to be.
Mm.
And so I'm going to, you know, do this for a little while until I no longer enjoy doing this, and I'll do something else. And I don't have to know what it is. You know, I don't think there are a lot of surprises in life. I think for the most part, I'll use a baseball analogy. You know, you're in the field, and the ball is hit to you. You pretty much know it's going to come to you. It's on the ground. You're going to pick it up and scoop it, hopefully. But hopefully, you've done a little bit of pre-thought and said, okay, if the ball is hit to me, I'm going to catch it. I'm going to throw it to second base, right? Because there's a man on first, and then we'll try for the double play. if I haven't thought about what I'm going to do with the ball, well, then I kind of made an error,
yeah,
a mental error. And, you know, if I make a physical error, hey, we all do, right? There's nothing you can do about that. They happen, you practice, you get better. But to make a mental error, you've let yourself down, you've let the team down. Just think about it in advance. And so, because you know what's going to happen. So I think there's not these big surprises unless something happens to you. You know, like you said before, you win the lottery.
Mm.
Well, that's a nice surprise. Doesn't happen often. But for the most part, you can see that in 5, 10, 15 years, the chances are you won't be able to do what you've been doing. Hopefully your health will be maintained, but you know, you don't know that for sure, but you plan on it, right?
Yeah.
As you talked before, in your business, you have to plan ahead. You have
sure.
to assume that you're going to live to be 90-something.
Right.
Otherwise, you run the chance of running out.
Yeah, that's not good.
I think it's the same thing about our leisure time activities and just keeping active and finding the things that we want to do and finding the places we want to live.
Well, and we'll get to that. I want to talk about some of the things to think about when relocating or, you know, after retirement and maybe deciding to live out at least the next chapter of your life in a different location. But it is all stuff to bring in and take in, Bart, and I really am glad you're with us to explore it. Bart Astor, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, author, blogger, speaker, and the book, AARP Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams, bartastor.com. We'll grab that quick break, and we'll pick up right there and say, hey, it's time to relocate. What to do beforehand and think ahead. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Bart Astor on the line. And you heard about the book and the website and some great stuff that we can take advantage of here having Bart on the program. And, you know, Bart, I think there's this allure of, new experiences and new location, maybe living somewhere else that gets a lot of people excited about retirement. They can move closer to the grandkids. They can move somewhere where it's warm. All of these things are enticing. And so what are some of the things that people should be doing, again, to prepare ahead and to figure out even if moving would be a good idea for them?
Yeah, I love the idea that you're asking the questions about planning ahead, because that's really what it's about. And people jump into things and oops, there's too many oopses, I think.
Yeah.
I hate the idea of making mistakes that are not reversible or not easily reversible. But,
yeah.
We all have this preconceived notion of age. One side note, I was asking my grandson, who was about 7 at the time, how old he thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, 50. And I said, well, not quite, a bit more. And he said, then 100?
That'll teach you.
Yeah, exactly. I was careful. He's a little bit older now. He understands. So we have this idea of age and how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. And, of course, we know that there are many people who are 85 and running marathons. And there are people who are 50 who, for various reasons, couldn't even think about doing a marathon and nor would they even want to run a marathon. And so I guess one of the things I introduce in the book is something I call the level of activity scale. And that's nothing more than a list of the kind of activity person you are. I mean, we know about the type A kind of person who, you know, works really, really hard, you know, 6-7 days a week and constantly working, constantly thinking about work, or and when they do something, they they do it wholeheartedly. I mean, they're all out. These are the marathon type people. These are the really dedicated runners and athletes and artists and people that are just super dedicated to things. And as you start going down the list, there are the people who are much more laid back, and or people who cannot do those things physically, or just type B type people. They're not, you know, they prefer to sit and read a book and relax, and that's their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you take somebody who's a type A, and you say, and this person says, I'm going to move to the beach because, you know, whenever I go to the beach, I love it, and I sit there, and I just love it for the week. And that's wonderful. And I'm going to, when I retire, that's what I'm going to do. Well, you know, fill in the blanks here, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, in the book, I talk about a couple that did that very same thing. These are real people. And, you know, John and Andrea, they moved to an island, and they had sold their business where they worked 6-7 days a week. And they're now living on this island. They built a house. And then after the house is built, then they said, okay, now what? And now we have to do this. And they started volunteering and doing, he became a real estate agent. She was a volunteer firefighter. They kept on doing and doing and doing. And they never really gave up their type A personality.
Right, right.
And after a while, they kind of stuck feeling lousy. And they were, I wouldn't say depressed, but, you know, they weren't that happy anymore. But they'd done all those things that kept them busy. And so they recently, well, I guess now it's a couple of years ago, they bought a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
They'd never run a restaurant before, but they said, we can learn this. We ran a business, so we'll do this. And we've learned a lot. And so now they're working 6-7 days a week again, and they're thrilled. And
wow.
What I've started to see in the last 2 or 3 years since they've owned this is they've actually slowed down a little bit. They have a grandchild. And or two or three, and they spend a little bit more time, but they did it gradually. And at first, they didn't. They just went, you know, boom, went totally from type A to zilcho. And you know, and that just didn't work.
Good luck with that.
Exactly, and we know that that's a ripe for just failure right there.
Yeah.
Fortunately for them, they were in a position to adapt their who they were. And continued to be the kind of people that they were. But some of us, you know, if they weren't financially in a good position, and they realized they were really miserable in this island, or what then? And during the 2008 crisis or 9th, they can try to sell it.
Right.
A house there, they would lose their shirt.
Sure.
And so I guess, so those kinds of things then make you start thinking about who am I? Again, no surprise here. You know who you are.
Yeah.
You're an adult, right? Figure it out.
Well, how about this, Bart? You know, I think this is a way of, at least I've kind of rationalized or reconciled myself to some of the things I want to do, is, you know, there's things you can do when you're at different kind of phases, chapters, stages of life. And, you know, I can see being that runner you described. But then later, you know, maybe it's more book time. I mean, you know, that doesn't have, I mean, it's a matter of choice. And, you know, I choose today, you know, I'm doing more with my kids because they're at a perfect age to travel and do stuff with them that, you know, 10 years from now, I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, so I mean, for me to say, hey, listen, I want to go, you know, I want to go run a marathon on, you know, on some foreign continent. And that's just not going to be practical to fit my lifestyle today.
And we know, I mean, look, let's face it, as we do age, we do slow down a little bit. And we have to anticipate. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and so if you can still gear up for things. I remember I geared up for several years ago, an AIDS ride. It was 350 miles, 4 days. It was torturous. I hated every moment of that ride. I mean, truly, I hated every moment. What I was doing it for was the accomplishment.
Right.
It wasn't about the ride. I don't like sitting on a bicycle for 8 hours a day, going up and downhill by myself.
Yeah, that'll wear you out, even the strongest.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100 miles a day, you know, almost.
Oh, yeah.
And it was awful. But the accomplishment was that I did this, and I lifted my bike, you know, at the top of my hands and like everybody else, and it felt great doing it. So no, I guess the lesson for me there was realize, am I doing this because I like doing it or because I just wanted to accomplish it?
Right.
And that is, you know, that's a different motivation.
And there's nothing wrong with the latter. I mean, that's for a lot of people, they really get a big kick out of it.
Well, why would you run a marathon?
Right. It feels good.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, that 22nd mile feels great, doesn't it?
Right, right. Well, I could relate. I've had my share of bike rides, and I know that you get out there for a little while, it gets a little bit much. But
and you know, I was alone for some of it. And,
yeah.
Oh God, this is really awful. I hate it.
Why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this?
Yeah, I know. There was a commercial recently, I think, about that, and it's like, I'm doing this. Why?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Well.
As you said before, it's nothing wrong with realizing I'm doing this just because I want the accomplishment, not because I love the process.
You know what, though? I think that's actually a good way of breaking those two apart. There's some things you're doing because you want to do them, and there's an enjoyment to the process, and then some is just purely for that actual achievement or accomplishment. And I think, you know, to recognize that difference is pretty smart, Bart. I'm glad you're bringing that insight to us.
Thank you. And also, one last thing about it. Don't make a judgment. I mean, we judge everything about our lives. And there's nothing, as you said, there's nothing wrong with having this motivation versus that motivation. That's a judgment that somebody else is making, not me. I don't make those judgments any longer.
You've learned.
I hope so.
Well, it's good stuff, Bart. Bart Astor, ladies and gentlemen, author, blogger, and speaker. The book, AARP, Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams, which is, of course, what we've been talking about. BartAster.com is the website, and you can also check out MarketWatch. That's where we saw Bart's recent article, and we got a lot about that, 4 Money Moves for a Happier Retirement. I tell you what, Bart, we'll have you come back. It was good, insightful, and certainly very relevant for a lot of our listeners, so I thank you for your generous time today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk with you, David.
All right. Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.